relating September 15th, showing hundreds of Satmar men and boys gathered in prayer inside Kiryas Joel's main synagogue for the first
time. This is Stuart Moxham of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Thursday, September 17th, tune in live music on the radio at WGXC as Alex Waterman performs on a live broadcast from the Old Stone House in Park Slope, Brooklyn, from the Music Ecologies series. Alex Waterman presents an evening of new solo works titled Towards a Typology of Realities We Coincide Within for cello, electronics, and mixed media, as well as a selection of new stories and songs. The evening will begin with a conversation where curator Dan Joseph interviews Waterman about his work, and then live music returns to the airwaves at WGXC 90.7 FM. Tune in Alex Waterman, 8 to 10 p.m., Thursday, September 17th, on the radio at 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Give me liberty! Or give me death!
WGXC, the station that gives you liberty.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Krista Mason. Krista was born and raised in Dutchess County, having bopped back and forth between Dutchess and Ulster over the years, with a little Columbia County in there for excitement. Oh, and wait, and Orange County too. So let's just say, fluid Hudson Valley resident. Krista studied at SUNY New Paltz, indeed went there without even taking a tour. She showed up at orientation and said, I can make this work. Originally, she went there with thoughts of becoming the next Broadway star, only to end up showing late to the party and learning that all of the theatre classes were full. She then mucked around for a year and did questionable things. It was New Paltz, give the girl a break. And ultimately became a Spanish liberal arts major with a minor in Latin American studies. Her only explanation was that she had a random knack for languages. Krista accredited this to her musical education thanks to the inimitable Anne Foster, her high school music teacher. To Krista, the woman is a goddess. Krista earned her master's degree in public administration from Marist College in 2018, all while working full-time, getting pregnant, and then caring for her freshly born infant son, Colin. She has been working in the non-profit field in one form or another for almost 20 years, save a brief period in 2007-2008, where she forayed into the world of the culinary arts. Well, it was a risk, but she will never wonder, what if? Krista met her husband in 2009 at a New Year's Eve party and got married in 2014. They had Colin in 2016, and he is the light of their lives. He surprises them every single day with each new development. Krista noted that watching him become an awesome human is an extraordinary blessed experience. Thanks to him, she has a newfound love of Disney and laughing at super silly things. Krista loves to cook, craft, and binge-watch reality television. She also enjoys gardening, although she admits to not being particularly good at it. Krista adores her three cats, well, all cats, and cannot wait until she finds her forever home and they can get a new dog. R.I.P. Molly. Krista cannot recall the last time she read a book for pleasure, but is thankful there are audiobooks now available for busy mamas. The last book Krista listened to was Mary Trump's autobiography, Too Much and Never Enough. It was riveting. Krista, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thanks for being here, Krista.
Wow. So, maybe I did write that longer than I thought.
Krista.
Yes.
What happened? Why didn't you turn up on time and get into the theater world classes?
You know, I spent my summer between high school and college working. So that was the only orientation I actually could schedule into my life.
So where did you work?
I was working at a movie theater that summer.
Yeah. Were you the popcorn woman, or were you the person who put the videos on?
I was the popcorn woman. I wore a hideous uniform that I get so jealous every time I go to the movies now, because they don't have to wear these vest bow ties like we did. But yeah, that was a really fun summer. I have memories. There were great movies that came out, and I got to see them all for free. And you know, that was the best perk of the job.
What was one of the movies, if you don't mind dating yourself a little bit?
Oh goodness, I think The Matrix came out that summer.
That was a good one.
Yeah, man.
I've never seen that movie.
You know, they're making a fourth one.
There was three.
There's three. Yep, and the fourth one coming out.
You know what? I do think I remember reading something about that. Now that you say that, I'm a huge Keanu Reeves fan. I have been since I was probably about 13. So.
I'll be honest with you, right? The last time I saw him doing an interview, he looked like he was hungover and his hair needed a wash.
I think,
but that's
just
part of the attraction. Yeah. Come on now.
Well, not for me.
So Krista, you were into musical theater in particular because of your teacher, Ann Foster. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about Ann Foster that was so inspiring that made you want to pursue that for a career?
You know, she wasn't, I would say she was not a huge fan of musical theater, that kind of performance. She really was more of a person that believed in the bare bones foundation of quality vocal performance. And, you know, we sang some of the weirdest things I've ever, you know, German music and, you know, the spirituals, you know, all kinds of interesting pieces. So I feel like she gave me a very, a varied background to come from.
Did you dance in any productions or anything like that?
Well, some of the plays that I've done, I've danced in, and I danced in different, you know, studios and stuff like that throughout my whole childhood growing up. I love modern dance that's more geared towards ballet influence than some of the crazy all arms and all like flailing about type stuff. My mother lives up in Columbia County, and she heard that Baryshnikov was going to be playing at or performing at the Fisher Center, and we got tickets to go to that, and I was like, of course, I don't care however much it costs, we'll go. I have to see this man perform before I die. Like, this is a mandatory thing. And it was one of the weirdest performances I've ever seen in my life. I just, you know, he is known for jumping and in this incredible height he could get off the stage, and the man defied gravity in his heyday. And the whole time I was just sitting there like, jump,
jump,
get off the stage,
jump, goddammit.
It was the weirdest, like, you know, when they say interpretive dance, and just, it was such an odd performance that.
And did they jump?
No. I just remember them. There was at one point they rolled like giant bushels of apples across the stage, and they were like sweeping them up with branches with no leaves on them. And it was just so weird. I mean, I'm out there. I can get with some weird stuff, but that was like beyond. I mean, literally the music they were dancing to was a recording of Construction on the Street in Manhattan. And the sound, the acoustics in that theater are extraordinary. And it was way too much.
I bet they had a bet with each other. I bet we can get paid for doing the worst idiotic stuff we can do.
I wondered. I really wondered. They were like, you know, we can make a lot of money. And then it's just because Baryshnikov's here.
Sometimes odd choices.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, speaking of choices, Krista's first choice for a song is I Choose You by Sara Bareilles. So why that song, Krista?
Well, I just love Sara Bareilles. I believe I picked two of her songs.
Yes.
I think if I had it to do over again, that I would have picked this song as my first dance at my wedding. It's really beautiful. She is such a talented musician and lyricist. I loved the musical Waitress. I actually went to see it with the original cast. I paid way too much money, but it was worth every penny. And I was like 5 months pregnant and I was so uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
And I think I walked something close to 30,000 steps that day. Wow. And I got on the train and I was like, this was a mistake.
Oh, no.
The show was incredible, but she just—I think she just really knows how to write a good tune.
Let the bow break, let it come down, crash. Let the sun fade out to a dark sky. Can't say I'd even notice it was absent.
I Choose You by Sarah Bareilles. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra, that's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Krista Mason, and we are discussing the songs and items that she would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Good choice there, Krista.
Thank you.
Your first item that you'd like to take on your Catskill Cabin getaway is
a foraging cookbook. Bare bones, like survival, like there's nothing there. I've got no electricity or anything, in which case I'd have to go and forage my food, etc. I have like the comforts of a nice spice cabinet. And
you get nothing.
A refrigerator.
You get nothing.
All right. So then I'm gonna get a nice foraging cookbook, which I actually found a couple really good ones online, but Mark Bittman is the best cookbook writer. He works for the Times, and he has done one of my favorite cookbooks, which is How to Cook Everything. It's like a Bible. It's so big. And then he has How to Cook Everything Vegetarian. He just did How to Bake Everything. I think he has one that's like How to Cook Everything Fast. But I love how all of his cookbooks have great stories before the recipe. So it's not just something to prepare. There's a story behind it, which I figured it would keep me entertained while I am up in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But if I really had to go out and get dirty in the dirt, I would want like a proper foraging cookbook.
Now, the oldest and the first ever cooking book is called Of Culinary Matters, written by Apicius. Krista, what century was it written in?
Oh, good God. I don't know. 16th?
16th century. Mike?
I'm going to say the 3rd century BC.
It was actually the 4th century AD.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah. Believe it or not, it's still in print.
Wow, no kidding.
That's awesome.
Right?
That's what,
there's 500 recipes
that.
In it. Now, when was the first published USA cookbook written, and it was it's called American Cookery Orphean by Amelia Simmons. So what year was that book written on in?
I want to say like 18, maybe like 1820.
1820, Krista?
I'm going to go for like 1780. I mean, I'm feeling like, you know, America. So it's probably after Revolutionary War.
1796.
Very good. Oh. Well done, Krista. Now, your next song, Stay a While by Journey.
Ha 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 ha.
Now, why that
so this,
song?
This is my wedding song. I'm a sentimental sap, so I felt that it was important to touch on that moment of my life. My husband is a huge music person. I think that's one of the things we connect on. And he just loves Journey. We actually, ironically, randomly were invited by a couple friend of ours that had tickets to see Journey. Now it's the new Journey. It's not the old Journey.
Yeah.
But it was at Bethel Woods, and we had never been to Bethel Woods before. And it was a pretty damn good show. Not gonna lie.
With Arnel Pineda.
Yes. He's got a great voice. He sounds very convincing, but it's not the same.
Not the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Stay a While by Journey. Fantastic band, fantastic song. Good choice, Krista.
Thank you, Andra.
That's not bad.
Hey, listen, it's been a few years. I better have it down by now.
Now, Krista, you have a love for British TV, don't you?
Well, I think I'm more of just a wannabe snob.
A wannabe snob. Well, so you want to sit somewhere in a London cafe and drink high and eat scones and drink high tea?
Exactly. Yes.
Out of bone china nice, cups.
A wool sweater. Maybe a kilt. I like a nice cup of tea, so.
Nice cup of tea. I was going to make you a cup of tea tonight.
Ah, poop. Well, if I would never have slept if I had the good kind.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a new thing. This whole getting old stuff sucks. And all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I can't even have a second cup of tea because my heart is like when it's time to go to bed.
Yeah, I know.
In college, I could drink coffee like it was water.
and to no effect. Now, if I have a cup of coffee after like noon that night, it's 11 p.m., 12 a.m., and I'm just sitting there in bed like, gosh, I feel awake. What's going on here? Yeah.
Well, I've just finished a mug of coffee.
Ooh.
You are an animal. I don't understand how you do this. And it's not even like taster's choice. You've got like the high test, really rockin' fuel, jet fuel type.
Yes, coffee. I am a coffee snob, and that is strong coffee. Yes.
Nice.
But yeah, so Journey, great tune. My husband actually ended up suggesting that as our first dance because we couldn't decide what we wanted to dance to. And, you know, he has such a great knowledge of hair metal and really all, honestly, all music. And he has definitely exposed me to a lot of stuff I otherwise never would have heard of. And I've gone to some pretty wild shows with him.
Excellent.
I wonder.
So, yes.
I wonder if
your musical tastes have expanded because of him.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So right. I mean, we've he is a huge Stryper fan, and I have nothing but respect for Michael Sweet. He has one of the most incredible voices ever. You know, people feel a certain way about Stryper, but I think their music is absolutely beautiful, and some of the most talented musicians. We've seen them here in Poughkeepsie. I think I've been there twice to see them, and we met them. They're just the nicest guys.
So where did they play?
At the Chance.
The Chance Theater. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been in there, you know.
Oh, it's super haunted. Holy good night. It is so creepy. I have, my husband is friends with the owner, Frank, and we've been down into the offices and the basement and, you know, all around. And there's some vibes in there, man. There's been some, you know, you think of all the people that have come through there and all the things that have happened in there, and there's definitely some vibage.
But some vibe. Maybe you'll need to take me in there with your husband one time. That way I can get an all-access tour of the place. All-access tour.
He was looking forward to seeing Richie Scarlett this Saturday, but I don't think the show is going to actually happen.
That's sad.
So that stinks. But we've seen Winger. I had a weird... Kip Winger is on the stage, and he's like, damn, I feel like I'm having an asthma attack. Anybody got an inhaler? And I was like, I do. So Kip Winger used my inhaler in the middle of a performance. I still have it. I saved that one. And Ted Nugent, Uncle Ted, the Nuge. You saw him. Wow. I had to check that off the bucket list, you know. It's just.
Yeah. Mike, who's the last person you saw?
In concert?
Yeah.
I think maybe, 3 Days Grace, I think the name is, in terms of like a band. I've actually been to very, very few concerts in my life. I've only ever been to basically orchestral and things like that. That's primarily what I go to see. So I guess maybe the Batavia Concert Band last summer.
Batavia Concert Band?
Yeah, my dad.
What was the last band you saw? Or artist?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Is that a band?
I'm like, no. God, I feel like my entire life has been on hold since I had a kid. I can't even remember. I can't remember. It may have been the Nuge.
Now, right. I'm interested about that, Krista, because your audiobook that you listened to recently was Too Much and Never Enough. And that, to me, doesn't seem like an audiobook that Ted Nugent would listen to. so you seem to have these varied, this very diverse interest in art and literature and things like that. And does it create any conflict or any dissonance in your mind?
Oh, Oh, yeah. I think my husband is very designed very much similarly. I'm all about hearing everybody's side and kind of making my own decision. But yeah, I that book was great. I don't know. And she did the narration of it on the Audible. Not that I'm pumping Audible, but she did it on the audiobook. I thought she was fascinating because she comes from it, not just from, like, you know, people might think she's like a disgruntled family member or whatever. She has every right to be. I mean, she got screwed out of fortunes. But, you know, she's a psychologist and a psychiatrist. She looks at everything from that kind of lens, and being a nerdy master's student, you know, I can appreciate that on a different level. And also the work that I've been doing with folks in human services, I can pick up on a lot of the things that she's identifying as triggers, yeah, or traumatic events that may have inspired some of the decision-making or behaviors or choices.
So if you think that her book had like one key point, one key message, what would that be, would you say?
Oh, man. I think what I pulled away from it, and I'm sure people will hate me for saying this, but I think it's also inevitable as a person that works in the field that I work in. I have an empathy for the president. Sounds terrible. I just look at him as coming from such a traumatic, abusive childhood, that it's like there's... I understand why he is the way he is. You know, we work with clients like that every day, Andy. We see folks that have seen the absolute worst horrors in life, and I'm still a sap at the end of the day.
You know, I actually never thought about that in terms of Donald Trump. I never looked at him from anything other than a particular lens, in that he's the president, and if he says something that I don't agree with, I am aghast or I don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I've been that with all presidents and prime ministers as well in Britain.
Yeah. Well, this book definitely, you know, it comes from her, more of her father's point of view. And he was the oldest of the Trump siblings.
Did he just die?
No. He died when he was in his mid-40s, I believe. He was a severe alcoholic, and that was brought on a lot from the abuse and the trauma that he suffered at the hands of their father. And the fact that he just was not towing the family line. He just wouldn't do it the way that their dad wanted them to. And you know, I think there were three children between Donald and his oldest sibling. I can't remember, maybe two. But he definitely got to see the first and second draft before he had to follow in the footsteps. So he learned real quick, like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be like this. And you hear the stories of how, like, the younger sibling that just died, you know, he was treated differently, and it's a really complex, all families are complex, and all families are really interesting when you really look at them. But it definitely, it's interesting to see how his children are now based upon knowing how he was raised and how his siblings act. And, I feel like we're only getting a tiny peek into what their family is really like these days.
Yeah.
Dysfunction at its finest.
Now, Krista, your next item is a quality chef knife. Now, I was doing a little bit of reading about knives. In 2013, a one-inch blade was discovered in Spain. It's 1.4 million years old, and it was carried by hominids. So the ancient ancestors of humans, hominids, like ancient hominids, yes, ancient people.
All right.
And obsidian knife blades are the thinnest of all blades. They're 3 nanometers wide, 10 times sharper than a razor blade, and those are made from volcanic glass. It's unlikely you're going to be using one of those. Some surgeons would like to use them for the incredible precision, but apparently they flake a little bit, and there's the chance that you could leave pieces of obsidian in the patient, so they have not been yet approved for surgical use. But so you're taking a quality chef knife. I'm thinking it's probably not obsidian. It's probably not going to be 1.4 million years old. Tell us about the quality chef knife you're going to bring.
So it's funny. I'm going on vacation in 17 days, not that I'm counting, but we're renting a house. And I know one of the first things I put on my list was that I need to bring one of my good chef knives, because I hate getting to a place and trying to prepare food with a crappy knife. It's not enjoyable. It makes preparing food absolutely a nightmare. I'm a little bit of a nerd. I do not consider myself a chef. I consider myself at best a line cook. But I do appreciate knife skills, and I want to be able to work quickly and efficiently, and I don't feel like if you have a poopy knife, you're going to do that. So I bring a good knife with me everywhere.
Julianne Fast?
Yes, sir. I took a couple of classes so I could do that, because I chopped the tip of my pinky off back in the day. Oh. I learned the hard way. So I invested in a few knife skills classes. But yeah. I know that having a good quality knife and making sure that it is sharp is critical to, prepping your food efficiently and effectively.
Now, Krista, speaking of knives and blades, it's important to have a sharp knife, a sharp blade, unless it's on a fan. Especially a fan that you're clipping to yourself, I suppose, to keep cool. That's your next item. You're not going to want those blades, to be too sharp. So tell us about this clip-on fan that you'd like to bring on your Catskill Cabin getaway.
All right. So I am a person that needs to have air moving all the time. And I have my ceiling fan on right now. It's a beautiful evening. Finally got to open up the house, put the windows open. But I have a clip-on fan on the headboard of every bed that I sleep on, because otherwise I will not be able to rest. It's the noise. It's the air moving. It all started from when I was probably, 11, and my mom and I moved to an apartment that didn't have air conditioning. I was a very spoiled child. I grew up, I was the daughter of a HVAC man. And we had central air in every house that we lived in until my parents got divorced. And then I lived in an apartment and I had no air at all. I had a skylight. I didn't even think this room was legal. Honestly, it had no windows other than a skylight. I don't think you're allowed to do that. I had a fan on me from that moment on in my life at all times.
Now, you've all heard the phrase that hitting the fan.
Oh, yes. The chemical fertilizer hitting the ventilation system was a line of mine.
The poo.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in the 1930s is when the earliest found written account is in Norman Mailer's novel, The Naked and the Dead. John Le Carla published a memoir in U.S. War in the Pacific, The Conqueror Comes to Tea in Japan Under MacArthur, in which he referred to the song, The Shinto Hit the Fan. And that's one of the earliest references in a book to that phrase.
I love Japan. I lived in Japan for like 4 months. And one of the really cool things that they hand out like little packets of tissues with like business cards and ads on them and all that kind of stuff. And they were doing hand sanitizer a long time ago. But one of the other things they do is fans. So I came home with quite an array of different kinds of hand fans.
You mean the hand fans?
Yeah, man. I have some silly photos of me with different fans as well, but I definitely appreciated a manual fan when I was on a train platform or waiting for a bus in a humid, hot Kanazawa day.
And you know, another thing that can help to keep you cool when it's so hot out is a little black dress. Now that's your next song by Sarah Bareilles. The world's oldest dress is the Tarkin dress, around 5,100 to 5,500 years old. And in the event that you were to have a little black dress, I'm wondering if it would be Vanta black. Now, have you guys ever heard of Vanta black?
Vanta black?
Yeah.
No.
I think
I've heard of Fanta, like the soda.
Yeah, and I remembered it as that, but it's actually Vanta with a V, and I think we may have discussed it on the show before, but it's the darkest material on Earth, developed by Surrey Nanosystems in the UK. It absorbs up to 99.965% of visible light, and it consists of these vertically aligned nanotube arrays, and that's where the name comes from, vertically aligned nanotube arrays, Vanta. And so when light strikes these tubes, it just bounces around in them and eventually gets absorbed and turned into heat. And so it is like indiscernibly black. Like when something is covered in Vanta black, it loses all form. It just becomes a shapeless black void, even though it in fact does have shape. So if you were to wear one of those dresses, you'd just be like, oh my gosh, that human has no form. It's just a two-dimensional black figure.
Where did you go?
Incredible.
Yes. I wonder if they've got Vanta white.
Listen, that's my husband's favorite television show is Wheel of Fortune. And I wish this man would actually try to get on the show because he would crush it.
Do you know what I hate about Wheel of Fortune? I hate when they go to solve something. They actually say the word as if, or the phrase, as if they can't read properly.
I know. Well, they're so afraid they're going to say it wrong, and then they're going to lose all that money that they just collected because it's happened. But like, that would be a traumatic event, man.
I would like to solve. I'm Krista Mason, and I am from Poughkeepsie.
Sorry.
Poughkeepsie. Gosh, Poughkeepsie in and of itself is just a mouthful and difficult to pronounce. But
yes.
So, Krista, why this song by Sarah Bareilles? Why Little Black Dress?
Again, I love Sarah Bareilles. Yeah. But I think this is a great tune to listen to if you are feeling a little bit down in the dumps and you need a little bit of positive girl juju. You know, there's nothing like a little black dress to make you feel your best, and get out there and shake your little booty. And, you know, it's a sweet song. And every time I hear it, it's like a great driving song. You know, those songs you hear in the car that you're just like, yes, great.
Yeah.
Put the windows down, you feel good. This is one of those songs for me.
I tried to be everything you'd ever want, but sometimes
That was Little Black Dress by Sarah Bareilles. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC ACRA. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Krista Mason, and we're discussing the songs and items that she would take on a Catskill cabin getaway. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Now, Krista, your last item is a weighted blanket.
I'm sitting under it right now.
According to Healthline.com, weighted blankets are heavier than normal blankets, 5 to 30 pounds. Do you know how heavy yours is?
I believe mine is a 15-pounder.
Oh, okay, so kind of like middle of the road. And the pressure mimics a therapeutic technique called deep pressure stimulation, which can relieve pain, it lessens anxiety, it improves mood. I was thinking of weighted blankets when we were discussing too much and never enough recently. It sounds like maybe that family could use some weighted blankets.
Indeed.
Unsuitable for people with breathing conditions or claustrophobia, so it would not have been effective for the musician with whom you shared your inhaler.
poor Kip.
Julia, my girlfriend Julia, bought one, and I found it to be really, I didn't enjoy lying under it.
You know, I have nights where if I've had it too many nights in a row, I feel like it starts to give me some back issues. But then I just put it on like my knees down and then I'm fine. But otherwise, I kind of feel like I'm falling out of the bed for some reason, and it keeps me snug and makes me feel safe and secure. And my son actually loves sitting under it and watching TV in bed with us in the morning. So it was one of my smarter investments. I got it when they first started coming out. But the only problem with it is that you can't put it in the washing machine because it will definitely be one of those oh, goodness, I'm losing the term when your washer machine is off balance.
Detrimental.
No, it's off balance and it stops working.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
It would never be able to get all the water out. So you have to just gently surface clean.
I felt poisoned when I used it.
Really?
Yeah, because I farted underneath it and the smell wouldn't leave the vicinity.
Poor Julia. That woman is a saint.
Well, I mean, it's true, really. I mean, if you do let go of one, then where's it going to go?
For real.
Yeah. You know?
Mate, have you ever tried one?
I've never tried a weighted blanket as far as I can, as I know or can remember.
Yes, I just feel like if I'm in a weird place that I'm going to spend some significant time in, I want all as many creature comforts as possible. So if I've got my fan and my weighted blanket, I'm probably going to be all right.
You know, there's something to it. They have, it seems to be even maybe like a mammalian sort of thing where like dogs have thunder jackets.
Thunder shirts. Yes.
You know, our dog just got one from his sister who lives around the corner. Coincidentally, and
but she go and buy it on Amazon and said, "Here, this doesn't fit me. You want this?"
She's a generous, well-meaning, and oddly competent dog when it comes to Amazon. So she got him this little thunder shirt, and we have yet to try it out. But you know, especially when we're up north, periodically there are guns that you hear in the distance, or there's thunder. Or
oh yeah, Fourth of July would be great to use it.
The poor month of our dog, the month of July, he was kind of a wreck. That was too bad. And also, you know, Temple Grandin, she was, autism, and she developed kind of contraptions that hold.
The hug machine.
Yeah. Gently but firmly hold cattle. And I think she even used it with herself to help calm herself. And they say that these weighted blankets can be therapeutic for people with autism or ADHD or anxiety. And other things. So there's something about that being firmly but gently held that's therapeutic.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I know my son, when he was little, we used to do the swaddling technique, and it was great until he could roll over, and then everyone was like, yeah, he's gonna suffocate, so don't do that anymore. We got
Technique, what's that?
When you wrap them up with the little blanket and make them into like a little cocoon.
Oh, right.
But once they can roll over, that's dangerous because they can't get their arms out, then they suffocate. But right. So we got him, it's called the Magic Merlin sleep suit, where if you've ever watched The Simpsons and you see Maggie Simpson in her star snowsuit, where she's all limbs out. It's kind of like that, but it's thick and it just like holds them in and makes them feel secure, but they can roll around if they, you know, are so inclined. And we did that as a nice transition out of the swaddling. And I've passed them on to my.
Do you think when people are lying in bed, see when people don't want to go to work or they're depressed or something, and they're lying in their bed, and then they get up in the morning, and it's time to get up in the morning, and they don't want to get up. Do you think the bed replicates like the womb in some ways?
Maybe a little
and
bit.
And people don't want to leave the security of the womb.
Maybe a little.
I.e. the bed.
Yeah. Maybe.
Could be something going on there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Mayhaps.
No.
Anyway, let's move on to the final song of the evening.
Yeah, we're coming down to the end. We're going to have to shut it down. We're going to have to stop, but not yet. The next song is Don't Stop Me Now, Queen, of course.
Woo-hoo!
The iconic.
Because we're having such a good time.
The only. Good time, good time. So why that song?
You know, this is one of those. It's up there with the Little Black Dress, just a feel-good song. I read somewhere that somebody did a study, and this is the happiest song of all time. It just, whenever you hear it, it will put you in a good mood. And I have not found a single time that I have heard it that it didn't do that for me. And obviously, Freddie is just a marvelous talent that is unequal to any that will ever follow him. No one can be another Freddie Mercury.
I agree wholeheartedly with Krista.
Yep.
He's my number one frontman of all time.
Hell yeah. And this song is just, it's great. It's fun. It's operatic. It's just beautiful. It's a great tune.
Tonight I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'm turning inside out. I'm floating around in ecstasy. So don't stop me now. Don't stop me. 'Cause I'm having a good time. Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna go, go, go. There's no stopping me. I'm burning through the sky, yeah. 200 degrees, just while they call me Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I wanna make a supersonic man. Through.
Sonic Man out of you. Stop me now.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you wanna have a good time.
That was Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. Fantastic song. Great choice, Krista.
Thanks, Krista.
Now,
thank you.
We've come to the end of the show, Krista, and as I say to many guests, we could talk for hours. Really appreciate you being on the show. Now, before you go, we have one more question for you. And that is, Mike?
Krista, how do you take your coffee?
Well, Andrew has made fun of me for how much cream and sugar I put in my coffee and tea. But I have cut down. I cut down on the sugar. I still like. I've actually switched to like light cream or heavy cream so that